This is the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. We have assembled the world's finest sports and trivia dorks to prove once and for all that we are just as bad at this as we were at sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 243 of the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, sports trivia for those of us who rode the pine. I'm your host, Scott, and today's game will be a special 1v1v1 benchwarmer affair pitting David Lux, Marcus Ellis, and Matt Takamoto up against each other. So I will just randomly throw it out to the person I see first on my screen to introduce themselves real quick, and that is you, Taco. So how's it going?
I'm good. As recording this, we are one day off of a four-day weekend, and I shouldn't be as tired as I am, but I'm incredibly tired because after 4 days, fifth graders forget how to do school. And so today was exhausting. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now, as I'm just very tired and drinking whiskey out of a coffee mug.
Okay. Well, as the most experienced 1v1v1 player that we have, that might be a disadvantage for you. Speaking of disadvantages and people who aren't stoked about this, I'm going to throw it over to David to see how you're doing.
Yeah, I'm not stoked about this. I've gotten a certain point in life where I need to be able to talk things out. And if I don't have somebody to talk them out with, bad things happen. I'm just intimidated just looking at Taco. People might not know this, but he is a trash talker and he's been telling us how this is going to go. So I'm ready, but not.
I mean, honestly, David, it's really no different for you for talking out. You pretty much just talk to yourself and rant anyway. So when it's your turn to talk it out, just do what you normally do and you'll be fine.
I'll just start muttering as I walk down the street. See how far that goes.
Yeah, exactly. And then finishing up the barbershop quartet that we have for tonight, myself included, is Marcus. How's it going, man?
What part do you want me to sing? Because I'm a baritone bass kind of guy.
Oh, I figured you can take bass.
You sing bass. I'll sing baritone. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah. So Taco's hitting those high notes.
That's fine. I got it. I was a music major in college. I can sing.
All right. Hey, perfect. I love it. No, I'm good. Let's just call it what it is. As the dumbest person that's participating in this 1v1v1, I got nothing to lose, so I'm just gonna let it rip. I'm excited. I'm playing with house money here, so excited to get going.
Yeah, I'm excited too, actually, for this to be a 1v1v1, especially because I did write a pretty specific game. So now I'm even more interested to see how it's gonna play out because there are some unprecedented things are going to happen in this game tonight. Before we can get into that, though, we are going to throw it over to Benchwarmer Emeritus Dan for the rules.
The game will consist of four quarters of play, each with different trivia style. The styles of quarters 1 through 3 will change from show to show, and I will explain them as we go along. Like any good sporting event, we will have a halftime show after the second quarter with entertainment questions. And in the fourth quarter, our teams will wager from their points accumulated to see who are today's clipboard captains to be honored like the true benchwarmers they are. All right, let's get this game underway.
All right. Yeah, Dan decided too. Did you hear that? Did you hear the vigor?
He sounded like Howard Finkel.
Introducing
the
Benchwarmer.
Yeah, it was weird, and I'm pretty sure he was wearing a tuxedo when he recorded that. I mean, did it live.
Yeah, we made him wear a tuxedo when he did that. All right, let's get started with the game. Today's first quarter will be The Missing Link.
The Missing Link. This quarter will consist of 5 questions with theme-linked answers. The teams will attempt to answer the questions and guess the theme. Each question is worth 20 points. If a team checks in first via chat to the host with the correct theme before the 5th question, they will earn 100 points. The other team can still earn 50 points with the correct theme guess. If neither team has checked in with the correct theme before the 5th question, each team can earn 50 points with the correct answer to the theme after the 5th question.
All right, question 1 in The Missing Link. Who defeated Retief Goosen, Rory Sabatini, and Tiger Woods to win the 2007 Masters Tournament?
I guess I'll check in.
All right, David has checked in, which means it's now on Taco and Marcus for someone else to check in, and then someone
will
pop
check in.
All right, Marcus has checked in, which means Mr. 1v1v1, Matt Takamoto, you can share your thoughts with us.
See, this is different than my previous 1v1v1s because in the amount of that amount of time, we would have gone through like 19 questions. This is too slow. This is too slow for me. This is like Virginia basketball. 2007. There's a bunch of just like names that come to mind. I feel like this might have been the Zach Johnson Masters. I think it's too early for Phil. I feel like Phil was like 09, something like that. I'll go Zach Johnson.
All right. And I'll go over to David. You checked in first. What'd you come up with?
I don't know my Masters winners. I can't keep them straight unless it was a Tiger year. And since obviously it wasn't a Tiger year, I guessed Phil Mickelson.
Okay. And Marcus, your answer.
Yeah, I don't know golf at all. So I was like, 2007, what if it was Phil Mickelson? So I also checked in with Phil Mickelson.
Wow. All right. Well, one person is getting points. The correct answer is Zach Johnson. But at least, Phil's a good guess. You guys are in the ballpark. So, all right, let's just move right along then to question two of the missing link. Very, very straightforward question here. Pete Sampras' wife plays the love interest in what 1995 comedy film?
Check in.
All right, Marcus has checked in.
I will check in.
Okay, and Taco has checked in. So David, whose hands are already on his head, you can talk it out.
I'm trying to think of anything she was in. I mean, it's obviously... Oh, wait. I know what she was in, and I know when that... Okay, sorry, it just hit me. I believe this is Billy Madison. I'll check in with that.
Okay, and I'll go to Taco for your answer.
Veronica Vaughn. So hot. Yeah, it's Billy Madison.
And Marcus, you checked in right away.
Mortal Kombat. I mean, Billy Madison is also what I checked in with.
I said comedy, not flop.
No, I found it very hilarious and endearing.
Everybody getting their points on this one. The correct answer. Oh, I'm sorry. The answer is Billy Madison. But yes, of course, Bridget Wilson is the actress. Like Taco said, Veronica Vaughn in that movie. So your theme link answers thus far are Zach Johnson and Billy Madison. All right, and I will go on to question three. What three-time All-Star finished his career in 2010 with the most stolen bases at his position since the dead ball era?
I'm going to check in.
All right, Marcus has checked in.
I'll check in.
And Taco's checked in. David, once again, the floor is yours. And once again, your hands are on your head.
Well, this one, I at least have a fighting chance. So I mean, you've seen this list enough times to know who a lot of the stolen base guys are by position. So, I mean, it's like, it's obviously not Ricky who would be the most for the outfield. I think Joe Morgan is for second base. He retired way before 2010. I think Bert Campaneris is still the shortstop leader. He was way before 2010. These are guys that I grew up watching. Third base, I can't place anybody. First base, I want to say it's even Bagwell. The only guy I can think of that's even close is Jason Kendall, and he would have retired about 2010. He could have easily had the most by a catcher. So I'm going to check in with Jason Kendall.
All right. And Marcus, your answer?
I also checked in with Jason Kendall.
Okay. And Taco?
Yeah, the wording of the question kind of made me think maybe this is a catcher, because catchers don't tend to steal many bases. And three-time All-Star retired around 2010 made sense. So I also checked in with Jason Kendall.
And everybody is correct and getting points. The answer is Jason Kendall. In fact, when you look at the list of all-time stolen bases for catchers, you don't recognize anyone until Jason Kendall and then Carlton Fisk and then Pudge. And they are third, fifth, and I believe eighth, respectively. So everybody else is like a Matt Doherty 1900 player. All right, your themed answers thus far are Zach Johnson, Billy Madison, and Jason Kendall. And that brings us to question four of the missing link. In 2004, he was named AP Coach of the Year following a 13-0 season in which his team didn't even play for a national championship.
check in.
All right. Taco's checked in.
Check in.
And Marcus has checked in.
Okay. I think I'm going to check in with Tommy Tuberville.
Do you think or are you sure?
I'm absolutely positive.
Okay. And over to Marcus for your answer.
I also said scumbag Tommy Tuberville.
Okay. And Taco, your answer?
There's a long and illustrious list of bad United States politicians. And Tommy Tuberville is somehow near the top in this long and illustrious history of bad politicians. So I checked in with Tommy Tuberville.
That I agree with, by the way.
And I agree that all three of you are receiving points. The answer is Tommy Tuberville, which means your theme blank answers are Zach Johnson, Billy Madison, Jason Kendall, and Tommy Tuberville. All right. Question five of the missing link. Speaking of coaches, in 2005, this coach joined Joe Hall, Dean Smith, and Bobby Knight as just the fourth to win a Division I national championship as a player and a head coach.
I'll check in.
All right, Taco's checked in.
Oh, God. I'll check in.
Okay, David has checked in, which means Marcus, you can talk it out.
Oh, I didn't want to do this. I don't know why I can't think of who the national championship was in 2005. I mean, I was a senior in high school. Oh, gosh. I mean, Kansas was good around then. Obviously, UNC beat Illinois the next year. Or maybe it was the year after that. I don't even remember. Oh, gosh. This is interesting because I know the theme. I'll just throw that out there. And it's not helping me. Or at least I think it's not helping me. Ooh. I don't know. I don't want to drag this out because none of this is making sense in my head. I'll check in with Roy Williams.
All right. And I'll go over to David for your answer.
So it just hit me like a bolt of lightning. 2005 was absolutely Roy Williams, but then I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't fit what I think the theme is. And that was the year they beat Illinois. And then I was like, oh, it's Kim Mulkey from Baylor. It doesn't say anywhere it's a men's coach. That's why I was completely thrown. So anyway, Kim Mulkey.
And Taco, your answer.
I remembered the sage words of noted feminist Eric Ead that not all answers are men. And I checked in with Kim Mulkey.
Yes, the correct answer is Kim Mulkey, obviously won with Louisiana Tech, I believe in 88, and then with Baylor in 2005 on the women's side. So that is correct. So the theme link answers are Zach Johnson, Billy Madison, Jason Kendall, Tommy Tuberville, and Kim Mulkey. I did get correct guesses from all three benchwarmers for the theme. I will say that David was far behind the other two. So sorry, David, you will not be getting the 100 points. But I will say that both Marcus and Taco were about 3.5 seconds apart on sending me the correct theme after question two. But I will go to the individual who sent it first for the 100 points for the answer, and that is Mr. Takamoto.
Yes. So as soon as Zach and Billy hit, it was pretty much curtains because as a boy of a certain age, the Power Rangers were very, very important and as a cultural touchstone to the elder millennial community. So yeah, as soon as Zach and Billy hit, I knew it was Power Rangers. And then I spent the rest of the time making an exhaustive list of all the other Power Rangers characters. And that helped me, quick check in Tommy Tuberville and Kim Mulkey because I had those names teed up. So,
all right. So, great round, especially for Taco there, who was perfect in that round. So, after the first quarter, we have the following scores: Taco in the lead with 200, David with 130, and Marcus with 110.
We wanted to let you know that we are on Patreon if you'd be interested in supporting us financially. Your contributions will be used to help us cover the costs that it takes to bring you the high-quality sports trivia you have come to expect from us. There's also some great perks that come with the Patreon membership to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, including bonus episodes, and Benchwarmers swag. You can find us at patreon.com/benchwarmerstp. Thanks.
Which will bring us to today's second quarter, and that is going to be Curriculum Vitae.
Curriculum Vitae. In this round, the host will list the teams and years for which a player spent time and may also give a few fun facts about each player. Each question is worth 20 points.
Quick and beat, guys. This is my first time writing one of these, and I had a lot of fun with it, so we'll just go ahead and make it happen. No,
this, this is the first time I played one. I'm excited.
I think these are
fun. I like this a lot.
A little bit of a twist on it. I wanted to make it a little bit more difficult. I'm not giving years for everything, but everything will be in sequential order. So, like, if I name a team and then a second team, it's the teams aren't jumbled. I'm just not necessarily giving years for everything. So, question one in Curriculum Vitae. 2006 fourth round pick, Denver Broncos, Miami Dolphins, Chicago Bears, New York Jets, New York Giants, Seattle Seahawks, New Orleans Saints, 6-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All-Pro, never played a playoff game.
I'll check in.
David's checked in.
I'll check in.
All right, Taco has checked in. Marcus, you can talk it out.
I don't like this. I don't like this one bit because it's a draft question. It's a fourth round pick and it's a lot of teams, but a 6-time Pro Bowler and a 2-time All Pro for that many teams. And he played for my Seattle Seahawks. That's really the tough part that I'm struggling with. I think this is Leon Washington, and that's what I'm going to check in with.
Okay. And I'll go over to David. You got all excited when you figured this out. What'd you come up with?
God, listening to Marcus reason that out, now I'm nervous that I was too quick on the trigger there. But and now that Marcus mentioned the Seahawks, I don't remember him on the Seahawks, so I don't know why I'm blanking on that. But I checked in with Brandon Marshall.
Okay, and Taco, your answer?
Yeah, these were a lot of teams, and it all became soup in my brain, so I had to focus in on something a little more tangible. And the Broncos, Dolphins, Bears trajectory, I like zeroed in on that because that felt familiar and I just started running through position groups in my head. And then I got to wide receiver and went that I feel like that might be Brandon Marshall. And then the 6-time Pro Bowler was like, yeah, on vibes, that feels like about what he might've had. So I also checked in with Brandon Marshall.
Yes. Two individuals are getting points. The correct answer is Brandon Marshall. Although Leon Washington was a great shout. And really good logic as well. I don't know if he's a 6-time Pro Bowler, but the rest of that stuff, yeah. All right, let's move on to question two of Curriculum Vitae. Pittsburgh Pirates, Montreal Expos, Florida Marlins, Houston Astros, Chicago Cubs, San Francisco Giants, New York Mets. All-star for 5 different teams, 1-time World Series winner, didn't wear batting gloves, retired after the 2008 season.
I'm checking in.
Taco has checked in. I don't know how, but he has. Marcus looks like he smelled a fart, and David looks like he's pontificating.
Are these two mutually exclusive?
I don't know what goes on in your household.
I'll check in.
Okay. Marcus, I know you hate this, but you're up again.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Ugh. Didn't wear batting gloves is a nice hint. You know what? I think this makes sense. But again, I thought Leon Washington made sense, and that's clearly not the. I think he was a fourth round pick, to be completely honest, and I'm pretty sure it was 2006.
Time frame's there for sure.
But that really hurt me. So now I feel like I'm jumping the gun here, but I'm not going to waste as much time as I did trying to think of that. I'm going to check in with Moises Alou.
Okay. And I will go over to David.
Yeah, the clue for me was didn't wear batting gloves. I never connected the fact that he played for seven different teams on the NL, but he was with the 97 Marlins. So it has to be Moises Alou. He's the guy who peed on his hands. Didn't need batting gloves for that. So, yeah, and he played for his dad. So Moises Alou was what I checked in with.
Okay, and Taco?
Yep, good Giant. Had some good seasons in San Francisco. And, yeah, didn't wear batting gloves because they were nice and calloused from peeing on him. I also checked in with Moises Alou.
Points all around. Correct answer is Moises Alou. And you took a little bit of my flavor text there with the peeing on his hands. But, yeah, Moises Alou. Never a guy that was strongly considered for the Hall of Fame, you know, despite the family lineage. And he did bat over 300 in his career, over 2,000 hits, over 300 homers. Really underrated player, in my opinion.
He's definitely in the Hall of Very Good, I think.
Yeah.
I agree.
Old pee hands, Moises Alou. Got it.
There's an episode title.
Yeah.
And Marcus, I just checked. Leon Washington was a fourth round pick in the 2006 NFL draft.
Okay, so I'm not an insane person.
Right.
Not for that, at least. All right, let's move on to question three of curriculum vitae. Played 2 years in the SEC, Denver Nuggets, Phoenix Suns, Denver Nuggets, New York Knicks, Phoenix Suns, Detroit Pistons, San Antonio Spurs, one-time All-Star.
Oh,
one-time All-Star.
Oh, no.
And no years? Oh, my God. Oh, I can't believe this. I'll check in.
David, who's crap talking my question and then immediately checks in. No time frame. I'm checked in.
Is it weird that when I look at these questions and I go, what sparks joy? Oh man.
I'll check in. It's probably wrong, but I'll just keep it moving.
Taco has checked in. Marcus, we're here again.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of figured this is how it was going to go, is that most of the time it'd be me talking it out. I don't know. David checking in quickly always makes me think that it's an old person.
David or the answer? Which one?
I don't know. So I'm just going to name an old nugget and be done with it. I'll check in with Kiki Vandeweghe.
All right. And Taco, your answer that you think might be wrong?
I'm almost positive it's wrong, but I could picture him in a Suns jersey and maybe even a Nuggets jersey, and I know he played in the SEC because he came up on a previous episode, but I'm gonna check in with Wesley Person,
Chuck's brother Wesley Person. And over to David, who ridiculed the question and then checked in immediately after.
I didn't exactly ridicule the question, but I think it's actually, if I have it right, that it'd be somebody younger than Kiki Vandeweghe but older than Wesley Person. I checked in with Antonio McDice.
Okay, yeah, I would have thrown in a hint that said one healthy knee. The correct answer is Antonio McDice. Yeah, way to suss that out there, David. All right, final question of curriculum vitae. My personal favorite question of the game, and that's because it's curriculum vitae wrestling.
Oh, here we go.
1988 All-Star Wrestling, 1989 to 1992 Pacific Northwest Wrestling.
Ooh.
Yeah. 1992 to 1993, WCW. 1993 to 1994, WWF. 1995 to 1997, ECW. 1997 to 1999, WCW. 1999 to 2000, ECW. 2000 to 2003, WWF/E. 2003 to 2010, TNA. And 2023 to current, MLW.
I'm going to check in.
Marcus has checked in.
I'll check in.
Taco's checked in. David, very quickly, you can try to talk it out.
The only guy I could think of that was in Pacific Northwest Wrestling then that had such a long career, and if I'm right about this, would be a guy that, as our friend Eric Walling would say, would be on the cover of Jewish Sports Quarterly, along with Bill Goldberg and MJF and other such Jewish wrestlers. I believe this might be Raven. So I'm going to check in with that.
Okay. And Taco, your answer?
I have no knowledge of Pacific Northwest Wrestling from 1989 to 1992, surprisingly. So I went on vibes, somebody who was in and around ECW around the turn of the millennium and has been wrestling recently. And I'm going to check in with Sabu.
Okay. And Marcus, your answer.
MLW, I know for a long time was based out of Chicago, and my friend Elise lives out there and go to MLW shows all the time. So I do keep tabs on a little bit. And for a while, but it didn't make sense to me, I was like, I know Tajiri wrestled in MLW in like 2022, but there's no way he started in, you know, his early on time was in Pacific Northwest Wrestling. And then I remember, you know, that's who I went down to see the Huskies play. I stayed with her. She lives in New Orleans. I remember her telling me, oh, there's been these vignettes in MLW and Raven is wrestling. And so, yeah, it just all clicked into place. Very hazy, that New Orleans trip, but I also checked in with Raven.
Okay, well, two people are getting points. The correct answer is Raven, and this is just ridiculous to look at, like the way that he jumped back and forth, particularly in the 90s, was astonishing. Fun fact about Raven, he is the only wrestler to have an action figure from ECW, WCW, WWF, and TNA.
See, that should have been a fourth quarter question right there. The action
figures. Yeah, because it wasn't hard enough like this. Yeah.
Wait, what's his real name?
Scott Levy.
Levy. Yeah. He's totally a member of the tribe. Yes. Scott Levy.
It's not Raven.
Legally changed his name to Raven.
Honestly, he probably did.
Oh, man.
All right. So after the second quarter, we have the following score. That's there's a little bit more competition for Taco. Marcus currently has 160. David is up to 230. And Taco is holding on to a narrow lead with 250. That brings us to halftime.
It is now time for the halftime show. There will be three entertainment questions. Each question is worth 25 points.
This halftime is going to be the actor version of Curriculum Vitae. So I am going to give years in this one. So just years and movies that they appeared in, and you tell me who the actor is. All right. So question one in halftime. 2000, Big Mama's House and Romeo Must Die. 2001, Exit Wounds. 2002, Barbershop. 2003, Malibu's Most Wanted. 2004, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. 2005, Hustle and Flow. 2007, Transformers.
Check in.
Marcus with the quick check in.
Get a check in.
David has checked in. Taco, you can share your thoughts with us.
I think, God, I'm trying to remember if he was, I think he was. I think this is Anthony Anderson. I think I remember him from Harold and Kumar, although I haven't seen it in forever. Yeah, I'll check in with Anthony Anderson.
Okay, and David, your answer?
I'll have to admit that I haven't seen half of these movies, but I also came up with Anthony Anderson.
Not surprised to hear that you haven't seen half of these movies. And Marcus, your answer?
Anthony Anderson was the employee at Burger Shack that tells them to go to White Castle. Sometimes when I think about those tender, juicy burgers, it makes me want to burn this mother down. Come on, Boogie, let's burn it down. Yeah, once we got to Malibu's Most Wanted, I was almost positive it was Anthony Anderson. So that's what I checked in with.
That is correct. Points all around. The correct answer is Anthony Anderson. He currently hosts the game shows We Are Family and To Tell the Truth. Both are available for streaming on Hulu. Question two in Curriculum Vitae Halftime. 2000, Gone in 60 Seconds. 2004, Million Dollar Baby and Crash. 2006, World Trade Center. 2010, The Lincoln Lawyer. 2012, End of Watch. 2015, Ant-Man and the Martian. And 2022, Moonfall.
I can see his stupid face.
I can't too. That's where I am too. I could totally see his face.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say stupid face, but yes, I did. I'm going to check in.
Marcus has checked in.
I'll check in.
Oh, God,
yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Taco has checked in. David, talk us out. Talk it out. What are you thinking?
Well, I know exactly who this is. I just can't remember his name. His name, I can picture him in, I can picture him in The Martian. I can picture him in Ant-Man. I can picture him in World Trade Center. It's definitely him. His name is, I'm not going to come up with it. I'll tap. I'll tap. I'm done. I checked him. Checked him with nothing.
David with the tap. I'll go over to Marcus, who was the first to check in on this one.
Yeah, I was saying his stupid face, but really I'm talking about how in every movie he plays the same character, and it's
That's
him
true.
tossing one-liners in his accent, and he talks like this all the
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
It is Michael Peña.
Yes, that's exactly. Yes.
Bless David, let me do the host stuff and say yes, that's correct.
Yes.
We got one player to hear from still. Taco, what'd you come up with?
Yeah, it took me a while because you left off my favorite Michael Peña movie, which is Shooter.
Ooh.
That's one of those that I will, whenever it's on TV, I will stop and watch it because it is so stupid and so great. Yeah, Michael Peña.
I actually left off Shooter specifically because I didn't think David would know what that was. The correct answer is Michael Peña.
I gotta rewatch Gone in 60 Seconds now.
Yeah, you do.
I rewatch it for Angelina Jolie once every 3 years.
That makes sense.
The only white woman I'll allow to wear dreads.
Oh yeah, that's fair. Not Bo Derek.
No.
Yeah, no, it's a really good cast too. Gone in 60 Seconds. So that will actually perfectly transition us to question three. 2000, Gone in 60 Seconds. 2001, Rockstar. 2004, The Girl Next Door. 2007, Hitman. 2010, The Crazies. 2011, I Am Number Four. 2019, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It's fun to latch onto one movie that you know more than the other ones. And
And
you're
just start
like,
going through the
yeah,
cast.
yeah. You're like,
Yep.
who the hell was in that? And the one I'm latching onto, probably surprising.
I bet you I know which one it is.
I bet you do. I'm going to check in.
Marcus has checked in once again early on this one.
I'm going to let Taco talk this out, but I'm telling you right now, I'm checking in with nothing. I'll check in.
All right. David has checked in with nothing. Taco, you can talk this one out. And we found a way to neutralize David in the future, guys. Let's remember this.
Movies from like, so the problem is a kid, my first kid was born in 2000. So from about 2000 to 2010, my movie knowledge is like Disney's, right? Like and I haven't caught up yet. So every one of these started in that era. So I was pretty much screwed, but I got one.
Hey, I'm trying to latch onto Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because that's the one I've seen the most recently. I spent a lot of time trying to justify Mark Wahlberg being in all of these, and then I realized I was confusing Hitman with Max Payne.
Listen, it's one video game flop to a different video game flop.
And I after about 60 seconds, I went, nope, that's not the right one.
He started thinking about Prince of Persia and Silent Hill, and yeah, the list goes on and on.
Hey, Silent Hill rips.
Who's in
Silent Hill's
Hitman?
probably the best of all of them, which isn't saying much, but
I'm also gonna tap. I have no clue on this one.
okay, we got multiple tap outs. So the only person I can go to for an answer here is Marcus.
What movie did you think that I locked in on,
Oh,
Scott?
I was hoping it was The Girl Next Door.
It absolutely 1000% was The Girl Next Door.
I knew
And I thought about Hitman, and I thought about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I went, that handsome dude's in all those movies. Sad you didn't have Live Free and Die Hard on here, but I took it anyways. I checked in with Timothy Oliphant.
And one person is getting points. The correct answer is Timothy Oliphant. Marcus, if I put Scream 2 on here, would that have helped you get there
No,
any
no, no,
quicker?
no, no, no. No, sir. That wouldn't have gotten me. But yeah, I cannot get him out of my head. Whenever I see him, regardless of what he's in, I immediately think of sleazy porn guy from The Girl Next Door.
Yep.
I'm just upset that you mentioned Gone in 60 Seconds twice, and I was like halfway writing down Giovanni Ribisi both times, and it was not Giovanni Ribisi either of those times.
Okay, I've now heard the answer and I still don't. I'm still confused. Who is this person?
Do you remember the show Justified that was on FX?
Yeah, so my favorite text is, in addition to movies, Oliphant also starred in successful TV shows such as Deadwood, Justified, Damages, and Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, yeah, Santa Clarita Diet. That was the most recent one. Yeah, he is so... I remember seeing him... he's in my favorite episode of Archer. He plays Archer's best friend. And I remember H. John Benjamin did an interview, and he goes, I was kind of pissed off the whole day we were recording because I was like, how is this guy so handsome and good at everything? Because he was so effortlessly charming in that show, and you can't even see his face. But yeah, no, I love Timothy Oliphant.
All right. After halftime, we have Marcus cutting into the deficit a little bit here with 235. David slightly ahead with 255. And Taco hanging on to the lead with 300. This brings us to the second half. So we've done Missing Link, CV, CV. So, of course, we're doing Missing Link again.
Oh, my God.
What?
Third quarter will be the second Missing Link.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
I told you what this a was twist. Unprecedented.
What a twist.
The Missing Link. This quarter will consist of five questions with theme-linked answers. The teams will attempt to answer the questions and guess the theme. Each question is worth 20 points. If a team checks in first via chat to the host with the correct theme before the fifth question, they will earn 100 points. The other team can still earn 50 points with the correct theme guess. If neither team has checked in with the correct theme before the fifth question, each team can earn 50 points with the correct answer to the theme after the fifth question.
All right, so question one in the second Missing Link.
Oh, God. Okay.
The first ever appearance of this former hip hopper on this podcast was on June 7th, 2020, in a game hosted by yours truly. Who was it? David, you should know this off the bat. You're a historian.
Yeah, I know, but June 7th, 2020, that's even before I joined.
Spoiler, before any of you joined.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. It's definitely before I joined.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. It's before they joined, too.
Why, it's only fair for you three and Wallen.
I'll check in.
David has checked in.
I'm also going to check in.
And Taco has checked in. So we're going to go to the person who definitely did not listen to this episode when it was posted to talk
about. No, I haven't. Former hip hopper is a interesting phrase. Former hip hopper. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's a reference that I should understand at least because this is the first time. I don't know. Oh God. Well, he is a former hip hopper and he's my favorite football player of all time. So I'll say Walter Payton. Former hip hopper, great rapper Walter Payton.
Taco,
I haven't stopped thinking about him since you mentioned the movie Exit Wounds, so I checked in with DMX.
Mm.
Okay, interesting. And David, you look very confused.
Well, because I think it was more obvious than this. At first, I thought it was Fuke, but then I remembered he was never on the show. This has to be Dan Lundberg. Has to be, right? I'll check in with Dan Lundberg.
It does have to be Dan Lundberg. That is the correct answer. That was the second ever episode of this podcast, and it was the first time that Dan joined us. So yes, the historian strikes again.
That's true. Yes.
All right, we'll move on to question two of The Missing Link. And I don't know how much further away from Dan Lundberg you can get, but I think this one's pretty far.
DMX.
Yeah, yes. See, that's not so far away because they're both hip-hoppers. All right, question two in The Missing Link. This recent Hall of Fame inductee only averaged over 20 points per game twice in his career, with neither season culminating in a championship. He did, however, retire in the top 10 for career points in the playoffs.
Playoffs.
What was that noise you just made?
I was saying to my, I was muttering to myself, career points in the playoffs, and then the first time I said the word playoffs, I think of playoffs.
Very confusing.
It was weird because he like looked over like someone was at the door.
Yeah, he was like, "Wow!" You made like a wow.
Jim Mora is at the door.
Exactly. Playoffs.
Jim Mora came into my company a couple weeks ago. Layoffs, and then
layoffs. Oh man, come on, dude! Man.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I mean, it's amazing, but
when they were like the company's doing layoffs, I literally wanted to respond layoffs.
I'm gonna check in.
I will also check in.
Oh, you right. Nerd!
Marcus and Taco have checked in. David, can you get more than just the playoffs out of your mind?
Well, I'm trying to think of who the most recent class was. They haven't announced the 24 class. I think they just announced the finalists. I don't think they announced who the class was. So I'm trying to remember who was in last year's class. And, I mean, Dirk, that was Dirk's class.
Dirk Cutter.
I'm trying to remember who else was in that class. I mean, Pau Gasol might have been in that class, and he could have averaged 20 points a couple of times, and it could have been when he was with the Grizzlies or something, so that almost sounds reasonable. Oh, wait a minute. Tony Parker was in that class. Okay. See, this is what's terrible about me not having somebody to talk it out with. I'm going to check in with Tony Parker.
Okay. And Taco?
Yeah, I just went with a guy I knew spent a lot of time in the playoffs and maybe wouldn't need to carry that big of a scoring load because he's got two other superstars on his team. So I also checked in with Tony Parker.
Right. And Marcus, your answer.
Yeah, I really thought about guys who cheated on their wives with teammates, significant others. Oh, and I also thought about somebody who was a distributor, didn't really do much in the regular season because he didn't have to. And yeah, played in a lot of playoff games. So I also checked in with Tony Parker.
Wow.
And points all around. The correct answer is Tony Parker, and because Marcus mentioned it, I'll just get this out of the way. The theme is not people who have cheated on their wives with teammates, because Dan, we know you are a loyal, faithful husband. You would never do that.
People who have cheated on Eva Longoria. Dan Lundberg. And
yeah, Dan cheated on Eva with his wife. She didn't know about it at all, but...
People who have cheated. this episode is gold. I mean, there's a ton of stuff.
Oh, my God.
Man, Taco, you're on fire. All right.
Your family answers thus far are Dan Lundberg and Tony Parker. Question 3 of The Missing Link. He is currently unemployed, despite a career coaching record of 128-48. He's won a Natty, coached the Heisman Trophy winner, and a number one overall pick.
I'll check in.
Taco's checked in?
I'll check in.
Marcus has checked in. David, you can talk it out and continue looking around your room in random places.
For inspiration.
Yeah, or assistance, whatever's happened. I feel like he's he's got someone like signing him the answers or something.
So your 28 is an odd number of wins because it's obviously, I mean, Saban's done all those things, but he's got way more than 128 wins. It's not Kirby Smart. He's still coaching. Jim Harbaugh's still coaching. I mean, there were a whole lot. Just Dabo Sweeney's still coaching. Urban Meyer certainly has more wins than that. All right, I'm gonna check in with Jimbo Fisher because he's the only one I can come up with that's even close.
Okay, and I'll go over to Marcus for your answer.
I also checked in with Jimbo Fisher.
And Taco, your answer.
My broken brain saw this question, and the first coach that popped into my head was Gene Chizik, but there is no way he got to 128 wins. So then it became... let's go back through and name some teams that won national championships. And it was between Jimbo Fisher and Bob Stoops, and 128 feels low for Stoops. So I checked in with Jimbo Fisher.
That is low for Stoops. The correct answer is Jimbo Fisher. So points all around. Yeah, it's not a lot to say. I mean, he's unemployed now. I don't really know what's going to happen, but that $77.5 million buyout was the largest in college football history from A&M this past season.
That's why he's unemployed, because despite all the funding in the world, despite bringing in number one recruiting class after number one recruiting class, Texas A&M finally figured out that Jimbo Fisher, not great at coaching football. He's good at recruiting football teams, not good at coaching football, and that's okay. Good for him.
Yeah. All right, your theme-linked answers thus far are Dan Lundberg, Tony Parker, and Jimbo Fisher. We'll move on to question four. In 2008, he recorded his first postseason win before ever winning a regular season game. He also saved two playoff games for the team that drafted him just 1 year earlier.
I'm going to check in.
Marcus has checked in. There he goes. He's looking over again.
I'll check in.
David has checked in. I mean, Taco, you can talk it out.
Okay. Well, 2008 would have been the Phillies Rays World Series, I think. Not saying that those are, he's on either of those two teams, but I think I have my, no, I definitely have my dates wrong on that. So I think that was 06. I was thinking Adam Wainwright, but I think that's 06 was he was closing. Oh, no. God, I am at a loss on this one. Let's pick a wrong answer in the interest of time. Let's go Jonathan Papelbon.
All right, and I'll go over to Marcus for your answer.
Well, Matt and I had a similar strategy. Wasn't really sure. I think I know the theme. Maybe I don't. So I said, I don't want to drag this out. So I looked at the names, and I said, closer, that time frame. And I also checked in with Jonathan Papelbon.
Wow. All right. And okay. David, your answer?
So Papelbon would be a year off because he would have been 07. I'm pretty sure this is David Price, actually, because that's when the Rays had their run. He was the number one pick of the 07 draft. And then the Rays brought him up and he kind of got hit around a little bit in September. And then he got his first postseason win in 08 and it just hit me. So I'm pretty sure it's David Price.
Yes, David is receiving points. The correct answer is David Price. That is pretty much what happened. September call up, didn't get a win, got in the postseason as a reliever with them, won a game in relief, and then saved two more en route to them losing in the World Series. So that is correct. So your theme link answers are Dan Lundberg, Tony Parker, Jimbo Fisher, and David Price. And I will pause for any answers for the theme that may be coming through and let you know that if you submitted one to me a while ago, it is not correct.
Oh, so nobody has it correct yet?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
Moving on to question number five. Also in 2008. This player led the American League in on-base percentage and OPS and was named the starting designated hitter for the All-Star team.
Yeah, I'll check in, you bastard.
Wow. Okay, I'm being called names, but David has checked in.
Oh. I'll check in.
Are you going to call me a bastard?
Well, no, he knows now why I called you a bastard.
Never.
Okay, Taco's checked in. Marcus, you're free to talk it out. I know there's not much there in this question.
Yeah, I don't know. You know who I liked in 08? Well, liked is a strong word. Shout out David Walling on this. I'm going to check in with Hank Blaylock.
Nice.
All right, I like that. All right.
It's a good name.
Want to go to because all right, I'll go to Taco because David called me a bastard. So
that's fair. So, in looking at the other names and trying to find a name that fits that time frame that might fit with the rest of them, not saying I have the theme, but I might have something. One name jumped out, which is why I yelled loudly into the microphone, and I checked in with Milton Bradley.
Okay, and David, your answer?
Yeah, right before this question, I texted Scott, and they said, if your answer to the last question is Milton Bradley, then bravo. So it's Milton. It's got to be Milton Bradley.
It is Hank Blaylock's teammate in 2008 for the Rangers. Milton Bradley is the correct answer. So points for Taco and David on that one. So your themed linked answers are Dan Lundberg, Tony Parker, Jimbo Fisher, David Price, and Milton Bradley. I have received two correct theme submissions. You know, since we're all friends here, Marcus, you are free to send me one, or not even send it. You can just say it if you have
anything. No, I don't have anything. We're done. We're done here. That was, I have no idea.
Okay. And now I'm going to give it to David. However, Taco will be the one receiving the 100 points because David sent me an incorrect theme before he sent me the correct theme, even though it was before you, Taco. You sent it just before the fifth question correctly. So you will be getting the 100 points. But David, since you had it first, why don't you enlighten the listeners?
Well, I jumped the gun. When I saw Dan, Tony, and Jimbo, I knew they were all Simpsons characters, so I took a shot at that. But then as soon as I saw, I was like, wait a minute, Dan Lundberg, Parker, as in Parker Brothers, the next two were Fisher Price, and the last one was Milton Bradley. So I don't know if you wanted toys or game makers or something like that, but like I submitted game makers. And I am kicking myself that I jumped the gun on Simpsons characters because I had it as soon as I heard David Price. I knew it. So, oh, God bless. Yeah.
Yes, you did jump the gun. Yeah, it is game makers, toy companies, manufacturers I would have accepted. But yes, of course, Milton Bradley, very notable. Parker Brothers, Fisher Price, and of course, of all of them, the best and most successful, Dan Lundberg.
Well, he's our favorite.
I needed Fisher Price to slap me in the face. Otherwise, I wasn't going to get that one.
Yeah,
that's kind of where that was. Although, as when it comes to incorrect guesses, I actually prefer Marcus's after two. I was like, oh crap, that is that is right. And then obviously it didn't break your way, but that was. Yeah, really good. Marcus sent me first round draft picks, quarterbacks drafted in the first round of the 83 draft.
Oh,
after
Dan,
yeah.
Oh, Tony Eason and Dan Marino.
After Dan and Tony, and I was like,
Jim Kelly could be Jimbo.
Jimbo Kelly.
Okay.
Yeah, true.
So,
but I had to get Todd Blackledge in there somewhere. Or Todd, anyway. Yeah.
All right. After the third quarter, we have the following scores. Marcus has 275. David has 355, and Taco, once again, getting the 100 points for the missing link, is ahead with 500. Right, and that brings us to the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter, known as Put Your Fours Up. This quarter consists of four categorized questions that teams will wager up to 100 points each, not to exceed their current point total.
And your categories today are as follows. So question one will be Naismith Player of the Year in basketball. Question two will be Underrated All-Star in Major League Baseball. Question three will be NFL Linebackers in NFL Linebackers. And question four will be the not-so-hidden wrestling question, which will be in Wrestling and Sports. It is now time for the teams to place their wagers.
We'd like to take a minute to invite you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BenchwarmersTP. We also have a Facebook group for fans of the pod called The Bench. Join us there to comment on the latest episodes and share cool sports facts and trivia. If you'd be willing to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher, we'd greatly appreciate the support so that other people may find this podcast. Thanks.
Now that the wagers are in, on to the questions. Question one, in the category of Naismith Player of the Year. Duke has had the most male recipients of the Naismith Player of the Year award with 8. This includes Zion Williamson, Christian Laettner, Elton Brand, and J.J. Redick. Who was the first player to win the award for the Blue Devils?
I'll check in.
Taco has checked in.
I'm going to check in.
Marcus has checked in. David, you can do this.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned Zion, you mentioned Laettner, you mentioned Brand, you mentioned Redick. So now the question is, can I do with the other guys from Duke that have won? I think I can, because Battier won, and Jason Williams won, and Danny Ferry won. And Johnny Dawkins was just before Danny Ferry. Has to be Johnny Dawkins. I'll check in with Johnny Dawkins.
How many points?
For 100, sorry.
Okay. And Marcus, your answer and wager?
I checked in with Johnny Dawkins for 69 points.
Nice. And Taco?
I checked in with Danny Ferry for 80.
Ooh, two people getting points. The correct answer is Johnny Dawkins in 1986, just before Danny Ferry, like David said. And David, yep, you got all 8 players that have won the award for the Blue Devils. So, all right, so with that, the game is a little bit tighter now. Marcus is up to 344. Taco falls down to 420, blaze it. And David is now in the lead with 455 points. I feel like this, Taco might get some Jeopardy PTSD now in the first one.
That's fine. No, I got the miss on the first one out of the way. If you had given me 3 more Final Jeopardies, I would have had it.
Fair.
William Faulkner won a gold medal in which of the following?
Oh, God.
All right, let's see if...
The Nordic combined. What is the Nordic?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Let's see if Taco can redeem himself here with question 2 in the category of underrated all-star. From 1999 to 2003, this infielder made 3 all-star teams, batting over 300 in every season for a team that never won their division during that time frame. In the year 2000, he hit 330 with 24 home runs, 97 RBI, and 51 doubles, and didn't receive a single vote for MVP. Name this player.
Check in.
Marcus with a quick check in.
I'm going to check in.
All right. David has checked in. Taco, need one from you as well, please.
Okay. So Marcus's quick check in made me think it was a Mariner, but they won the division in 01 pretty handily. So Brett Boone's out. Then I thought Edgardo Alfonso, but I think the Mets won the division. That got me thinking NL East. And here's a name I haven't thought of in a long time, but I like it because he was a kind of a baller. I'm going to check in with Jose Vidro.
Okay. For how many points?
For 80.
Okay. And David, your answer and wager, please.
So I went first to Nomar. Garcia Parra, obviously, but then I dismissed him for 2 reasons. I mean, he had a ton of doubles and he would have had those kinds of home runs and RBI numbers, but I dismissed him for 2 reasons. One of them is that I think he had a significantly higher batting average than that. And 2, Scott would never ask a question if he knew I was going to be on about Nomar Garcia Parra, especially for 4th quarter. So I also checked in with Jose Vidro for 100 points.
Okay, and Marcus, who had to quick check in and then had to sit for about 10 minutes, not exaggerating, for the other 2.
Come up with. Oh, I guess I should have waited because Matt picked up on a thing, and that is that this man can be classified as Mariners legend. He's traded for Chris Snelling and somebody else. And that is Jose Vidra.
For how many points?
For 68 points.
Ooh, almost nice. Every player is getting their points. The correct answer is Mariners legend Jose Vidro. He quietly ended his career with the Mariners in 2008, which is even more forgotten about somehow than his actual career, which is forgotten about and summed up by Taco going, oh, I haven't thought about this guy in a while. It just baffles me that those numbers back then didn't even get a single MVP vote, like 330 right. and over 50 doubles and 24 homers, 97 ribbies from a middle infielder. Not a single MVP vote. All right. So score update now. All three got it right, but the point differentials were different. So David's still in the lead with 555. Taco back up where he started with 500, and Marcus is up to 412. So with two questions left, it actually is still anybody's game, which will bring us to question three in NFL linebackers. In 2005, an AFC team drafted linebackers from the same college in the first and second round. They both played with the team until 2007, when unfortunately their careers ended for various reasons. Name at least one of the players and the college they attended.
I can virtually guarantee you I'm not going to get this. This is not my choice.
Oh, I'm going to check in.
Oh, checked in.
I'm going to check in. Yeah.
I really want to hear Marcus go through every pick and talk this out. So hopefully Dave will.
Do you actually?
I do.
I don't think you do.
You know I do as a draft person.
You know. Are you sure? Oh, my gosh. I can check in.
Oh,
Marcus Sorry. Has checked in, which means, David, you Sorry. Can talk it out.
Nobody wants to hear me talk this out. I'll just tap.
You couldn't have tapped 4 seconds earlier. So
I know. This one out. I probably should have out of fairness, but I just was trying to think of any teams that I remembered or anything I remembered about the 2005 NFL draft. But if these guys only lasted 2 years, there's just no way. I mean, 2005 is one of my dead times. So I'll just give you my 70 points. I got nothing.
Okay, so apparently zombie David Lux existed in 2005. That was one of his dead times. Marcus, I'm gonna throw it to you for your answer and wager, please.
When you think about the time frame and you're talking about guys who had short careers, there's one that's very prominent because he himself was very prominent. Still in the media, still every Saturday you'd see his mug everywhere. And it says name at least. Okay, at least one. Do you want me to? No.
If you know the second one, I won't. Like, if you get the second one wrong.
I'm just going to name the one, and then if Matt wants to add to it, he can. And that person for a neck injury would be David Pollock, and he played at Georgia.
For how many points?
So that is what I checked in with. For 69 points.
Nice. And Taco, who had an epiphany right before his answer, your answer and wager, please.
I had an epiphany because I needed it all to sort of marinate together into a nice trivia stew and go, wait, this, a lot of this sounds familiar. Short career AFC. And for some reason, the Bengals popped into my head immediately. And then all the pieces kind of clicked. And I also checked in with Georgia Bulldog David Pollock for, because my NFL knowledge is crap, for 16 points.
Yes. Both players who actually gave answers are getting points. The answer is Georgia, and David Pollock and Odell Thurman is the second round pick. It's crazy. These guys were teammates at Georgia, teammates on the Bengals, and were both off the team after the 2007 season. Pollock for suffering a career-ending neck injury, and Thurman suspended for multiple substance abuse violations and a violent domestic crime as well. So the Bengals he was suspended by the league and was never reinstated. And people never talk about that, but it happened. Thurman actually finished second in the defensive player, the defensive rookie of the year standings to Sean Merriman in 2005. So like Thurman, he was a guy, he was a baller. And then he just got kicked out of the league and no one cared because David Pollack hurt his neck and was a good guy. So yes.
Well, not any, yeah, now he's weird. So
yeah, but I mean, at the time he was like as all American as like,
yes.
Yeah. As it got. So who knows what that linebacking core would have looked like with those two and Vontaze Perfect. Yeah, wow. They could have been disgusting. But yeah, so now after question three, we have the following scores. Taco has regained the lead at 516. David falls down to 485, and Marcus is creeping right behind with 481. So going into the final question, it's still anyone's game, and this is the not-so-hidden wrestling question. During his days at Miami of Ohio, John Harbaugh was roommates with a pro wrestler who rose to fame in the 90s for multiple territories before his untimely passing. Though he is no longer with us, his son is currently wrestling for a major promotion. Name the wrestler.
I am going to check in.
Ooh, Marcus, with the quick check in, applying pressure on David and Taco.
I'll check in as well.
All right, Taco has checked in. David, instead of just the voices in your head, Randy Orton, you can actually talk to us now.
I am pretty sure that this is Brian Pillman. I'm 90% sure that he went to Miami of Ohio. He had a very brief football career. I think his son is wrestling now. And obviously he's no longer with us, although that hardly makes him unique in the wrestling community. So I'm going to check in with Brian Pillman, and I don't remember how many points I wagered. Hang on. 85.
Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco, exactly. Thank you.
Taco, your answer and wager, please.
I ran through the other current wrestling Nepo babies that I could think of. Both the Steiners are alive. Briefly considered Davey Boy Smith Jr. or Davey Boy Smith, but that doesn't make any sense. And then got to Brian Pillman, and I was like, oh yeah, I think he's pretty sure he's from Ohio. That sounds right. So I also checked in with Brian Pillman for 80 points.
And Marcus, you were very excited when you checked in. What was your answer and wager?
Well, Scott, I'm going to be a man after your own heart right now. Available on Hulu, Dark Side of the Ring. Watch them. They're fantastic, unbelievable documentaries about some really horrific things that have happened in the wrestling business. Some of them funny, some of them not at all funny. All very emotional, but very good. Very, very good if you want to learn about some of the dark underbelly of wrestling. And in the Brian Pillman episode, as JR did like to do throughout his whole career. If you played football in college, Jim Ross was going to let the people know. Like, I'll never forget him calling D'Lo Brown the main black bear, D'Lo Brown. And I remember him saying many times that Brian Pillman, played at Miami of Ohio, and, his beautiful son, Lexus King, I mean, Brian Pillman Jr., yeah, so I checked in with Brian Pillman for 69 points.
Nice. Yes, everyone is getting their points. The correct answer is Brian Pillman, who of course tragically passed away on October 5th, 1997, hours before the start of In Your House Bad Blood, which of course is better known for That's Gonna Be Kane. That's that day. Does anyone remember who Pillman was supposed to fight that night?
Oh, I watched this not that long ago.
I don't remember. It was way after the Austin feud, right? So
he was scheduled to face Dude Love.
Wow!
On that show, and obviously that did not happen. But of course, in wrestling, the show went on, and we got Kane in the iconic Hell in a Cell ripping the door off. So I mean, something iconic happened. So I guess that makes it a little bit better. Better than Over the Edge 99 when that show was ass.
Well,
but different circumstance too. All right, the game has come to an end, and here are the final scores. This was an extremely close game. Marcus finishes in third place with 550 points. David finishes in second place with 570 points. And the clipboard captain of the game, who's receiving the coveted Aaron Murray Award with 596 points, is Taco. You did it. You were right. All you needed was four fourth quarter questions to get a 1v1v1 victory. So congratulations on
that, sir. I'm writing
a
strongly worded email to the Jeopardy producers right now to include three more final Jeopardy questions in every game. And then I will be able to win again.
Yeah, since I have no guests to throw it to, any last remarks before we get out of here?
Scott, you're right. This was a great 1v1v1. And yeah. it was a lot of fun. Good questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fourth quarter was great.
Yeah, despite your Mighty Morphin Power Rangers garbage. I'm kidding. Yeah,
listen, good stuff. Every game's got to have some equalizers, okay?
I know. I'm with you.
I'll leave you guys with this. Who better than Canyon?
Good question. I mean, that's the all-important question.
And with that, thank you for listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. And until next time, we'll keep the bench warm.
That ball hit high and deep. Stretch. Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Yes.
Into deep left center for Mitchell. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
That great music you're listening to is by Justin Nozick. Thanks to him for producing that music for us. You've been listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. Make sure to check us out on all of our social media. We are at Benchwarmers TP.